to Oasis. Let's all stand up together.
Oh Lord my God, you are Lord my trust. Oh Lord my God, you are Lord my hope. Oh Lord my God, you are Lord my trust. Oh Lord my God, you are Lord my hope. In you I found my peace. In you I found my strength. In you I live and move and breathe. Let everything I say and do, founded by my faith in you. I lift up holy hands and sing, let the praises ring. Let's sing that second. Oh Lord my God, to you I give my hands. Oh Lord my God, to you I give my feet. Oh Lord my God, to you I give my everything, take all I have. Oh Lord my God, to you I give my life. In you I found my peace. In you, in you, I live and move and breathe. Let everything I say and do, founded by my faith in you. I lift up holy hands and sing, let the praises ring.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much for coming out tonight. We're so glad that you're with us at Oasis. Every Saturday at 7 o'clock, we get together. We worship God at the top of our lungs as loud as we can. We praise Him, lift up our hands, and celebrate who He is, and that we can know Him. Then we open up the Scripture. We see what God has for us to change and transform in our own hearts. And then afterwards, we meet in the back. We have some snacks and some goodies, and we try to have meaningful conversation about what we studied and what we've read and what we've heard. So we're so glad you're with us tonight to participate in that and be a part of that. It's an honor and privilege to get to do that with you guys every week. You guys can go ahead and have a seat. I'm going to have Meg come up and give us some announcements.
Have some updates for the mission conference that's coming up, the fundraising that we're going to be doing this month. We need people who are going to donate pastries for the pastry auction that we're going to be having every week in August and probably the beginning of September too. These are real special treats that are going to be auctioned off to help raise money. We're also going to have a church-wide yard sale Friday and Saturday, August 10th and 11th. The times are probably going to be 9 to 3. We need volunteers to help run that. And also we need donations from everybody in the church. We want these goods to be in working condition. Children's clothing sells the best, but adult clothing does not, so please just stay away from that. Tomorrow is the prayer at Jamonville Cross. Don't forget, it's at 6 p.m. And next Sunday, August 5th, is our leadership potluck lunch. That's gonna be after church for everyone involved in any sort of leadership in the church. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Meg. Let's all stand up together. We're going to continue our worship tonight with a song we haven't done in a while. It's called God of the Ages.
He is the image of the invisible God, the first.
firstborn of creation. He is the first, the last, the one who matters most. He is creator, ruling sustainer of all, for he holds it all together. He is the Word of God, the hope for all the world. His name is lifted higher. Jesus, your name is lifted higher. We bless you, Lord, God of ages, highest of all. We magnify you, your name will be exalted. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of creation. He is the first, the last, the one who matters most. He is creator, ruling sustainer of all, for he holds it all together. He is the Word of God, the hope for all the world. His name is lifted higher. Your name is lifted higher. We bless you, Lord, God of the ages, highest of all. We magnify you, your name will be exalted, exalted. Thank you so much for meeting with us tonight, Lord. We praise you for the wonderful cross. We praise you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. Lord, I pray that we would just seek you with our whole hearts tonight, Lord. That everything we do would be pleasing in your sight, that you would speak to us and challenge us and break down strongholds in our minds tonight. That we would know you, in Jesus' name. Darkness tries to hide and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. And how great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. Praise to ancient saints, time is in his hand, beginning and the end. Beginning and the end, the Godhead three in one, the Father, Spirit, Son, Lion and the Lamb, Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great. And all will see how great is our God. Name above all names, worthy of all praise, my heart will sing how great. God, you are the name above all names, worthy of all praise. My heart will sing how great is our God. Great is our God. Sing with me how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Oh, wow. I just love praising God. I love the opportunity to lift up our voices to Him and the instruments. Let's see. This is set at 15 minutes. Let me change that to like 3 hours. There we go. Now we're cooking with Crisco. We've been talking about habits of a healthy Christian the last couple of weeks. Last week we had kind of a special service where we did some prayer time and some worship, and that was really cool, and it was a special opportunity for us. But we've been talking about how we can use our bodies, our mind, and our spirit to glorify God, and how we can know Him better, and how we can incorporate habits in our life to be more like Christ. So this week we're going to be talking and exploring the mind. All right? Ooh, so everybody say ooh. Right? So, the mind is a very powerful thing. It really is. You know, what's his name? Zig Ziglar is an awesome, inspiring guy. Any salesperson out there, you guys should be listening to Zig Ziglar like every day. But Zig Ziglar says that positive thinking will not help you do anything or accomplish anything. But positive thinking will help you accomplish everything better than negative thinking. But this is one of the things. It's the power of the mind. And so tonight, to kind of illustrate the power of the mind, because I couldn't really get as deep and as detailed as I wanted, I asked my good friend Billy to come and do a demonstration for us. So Billy's going to come on up here, and he's going to do a demonstration of mental power. So if you guys could you please welcome Billy to the stage?
All right. How you guys doing? All right. So in a little bit, I'm going to need a volunteer. But for right now, have you guys ever seen these shows on TV like The Mentalist or Lie to Me? Or everyone's seen CSI, right? You guys are familiar with these shows. All right, well, in these shows, you often see these people. You see this forensic science, which is basically someone will be involved in a situation, say at a crime scene, somebody sees the getaway vehicle, and they can't, in the shock of the moment, the spur of the moment, they can't quite remember anything. And so what help are they to the police, right? I mean, they need to identify a criminal's face, or they need to identify a getaway vehicle. So what they'll do is they'll bring in these forensic mentalist type experts, and what they'll do is they'll try and dig deeper into the subconscious of a person's mind, and they'll do this sort of thing where they kind of, you know, they play this tape in your head, and you know, I want you to relive the crime scene, and I want you to just keep the tape rolling in your head, and I want you to visualize this, and then the person that they're talking to will eventually, you know, they'll narrow it down and they'll say, oh, maybe it was an SUV or a gray sedan or something like that. Are you guys familiar with this? Where they get them to think, and they just get them to focus down to details. And many crimes are solved this way nowadays. They'll have these experts come in and they'll just dig into the person's mind and tap into their subconscious and get them to remember details they couldn't remember before. For the past 3 years, I think it is now, I've been studying psychology at college. I've been studying the human brain. And so something I'm going to try and do tonight, I'm going to try and experiment with you guys, and I'm going to try and do what these forensic type mentalists do. But first, I'm going to need a volunteer, preferably someone that I don't know that well, because everyone assumes instantly that, okay, Megan, Nathan's volunteering, Megan. All right, the reason I don't want someone I know well is because automatically the first thing somebody assumes is that this is a trick and the person's in on it. So this is Megan, and she's totally embarrassed right now. And I really don't know her that well. I've been around her several times, but we've never really chatted. Okay, so what I'm gonna do, Megan, is I'm gonna use you to show how powerful the mind is, okay? So what I'm gonna do is first, I want you to just memorize all of these cards in order, okay? Just memorize them, okay?
Yeah, go, Megan.
Take it in, Megan. All right, you got it?
Yeah.
All right, she's got them completely memorized now. Okay, so we're just gonna put those in here, okay? All right, so Megan is, she's ready to go. All right, go ahead, Megan. Just tell us those cards. All right, so obviously she's not going to be able to memorize 52 cards just like that, right? But somewhere in her subconscious, somewhere in her mind, she saw those cards and they registered, right? It went through, it fired through all kinds of synapses, you know, it's strengthening those connections. But somewhere, because that connection is very weak, she can't instantly recall it. But I know that somewhere in her subconscious, those cards are in there, okay? So what I want to do is I'm going to ask Megan to think of two suits, any two suits of cards, you know, hearts, diamonds, clubs, spades, think of any two and go ahead and tell us.
Do they have to be the ones you lifted?
Those are the only, okay, yeah. She's doing good.
Hearts and clubs,
okay. Which one do you think would be more visual of the two? Okay, hearts. So she picks hearts. But what we really want to do is she said hearts and clubs, in case you guys didn't hear. And she said that hearts were more visual, which is usually correct, right? Red is psychologically one of the most vivid colors. But we don't want to work with a vivid color because I really, really want to try and dig deep into her subconscious, okay? Something she wouldn't remember, it wouldn't stand out. So we're going to focus on clubs then, okay? All right, and I'm gonna kind of use my hand as a scale, okay? So this would be like 1, 5, and 10, okay? But we're gonna do that with the cards, okay? So this would be like 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, jack, queen, king, ace, okay? So I'm gonna go down, and I want you to just stop me wherever you're ready, okay?
Okay. Stop.
Okay, stop right about there? Okay, that's fair? Okay, so that's right around the middle, I'd say. So maybe around 7. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Okay, 7. All right, so we're going to go with 7. And what was the suit you picked again? The clubs was the one we decided on? Okay, clubs. So I think she remembers somewhere in her subconscious where the card is in the deck. She just doesn't quite know. So what we're going to do is I want you to just pick any number. Just go ahead. One, obviously, not over 52. There's only 52 cards. How far into the deck do you think the card is?
38.
Okay, 38. All right, so here's what we're going to do. All right, 2 of diamonds, not her card, okay? It's 1. It's 2. Not her card yet. 3. 4. This usually goes faster with a lower number.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. No, that's okay. 5. The reason I don't like to hold them in my hand and I use my pocket is because a lot of people think you're doing some trickery stuff with your hands. So that's 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. You guys want to count with me? Yeah, help me count.
21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32.
All right, I'm going to drop them back down into my pocket now because I really don't want you guys to think I'm doing anything with my hands here, okay? All right, so we're on 32. And first, I want Megan to inspect these cards for me because for all you guys know, in my pocket here, these cards could all be the one she picked. These are all different cards, right?
Yeah.
Completely ordinary, not marked cards, nothing weird going on. All right, so, all right, we're on 32. We're going to keep counting here.
33, 34, 35, 36,
and you said 38, right? 37, 38. Is that the card? It's a 7. The card was the 7 of clubs, okay? So this is the 7 of clubs, right? Good job, Megan. She's a mentalist. Yeah, you can be done. I'm going to need another volunteer, though, real quick. Okay, Keith, you want to be my volunteer? I just met Keith at kids camp this week. He's a pretty cool guy. Okay, so that was me tapping into somebody else's subconscious, okay? So now, that I think that arguably shows the power of the mind very well, doesn't it? But I think we can take it a little bit further. So before I came, I did the honor of writing a prediction of what her card would be, and it's locked inside that case there, okay? And what actually happened there, Megan, is I forced a card mentally on you, okay? It is a completely normal deck, and what I did is I gave subtle hints, subtle clues, and I kind of played with her mind a bit and had her pick a card. But this briefcase has been sitting here since we started, right? So I haven't gotten in the briefcase, and I don't want to touch the briefcase, and I don't want to touch anything. So the briefcase is locked, and inside the briefcase is another briefcase with an envelope. And Keith is going to unlock the briefcase with this handy dandy keys. There's make sure it's locked first before they you show them. That's locked pretty solid, right? All right, Keith says it's locked. He's gonna unlock it. All right, and her card, let's just review really quick. We went through completely random, picked a card that she wasn't very familiar with, completely subconscious. It was exactly where she said it would be in the deck, right? And so now before I came, I wrote a prediction, the opening. Not really. Might want to try both keys, yeah. All right. Somebody want to come help Keith open the briefcase? It should twist to the... I don't want to touch it, so I can't really help him out. Oh, he got one. All right, there, he got it. It's locked very well. I didn't want you guys to think I was tricking you. All right, so you got it. All right, that's one briefcase down. This one is not locked. This is just another briefcase, so it should go pretty quick. All right, and I want Keith to come up here, Keith, and I want you to tear this envelope open without tearing what's inside it, and I want you to just hold that prediction up, okay? And I think this will show you guys the power of the human mind. All right, that's the seven of clubs. All right, thank you, Keith, and let's get a round of applause for Megan for helping out. I'm gonna leave this up here, and now I'm gonna let Ron go ahead and do his thing. All righty.
Thank you so much, Billy. Can we get another round of applause for Billy? Hey, Billy, that was awesome. Well, like I said, the mind is a powerful thing, and the mind has the power to do all sorts of cool things. And this was a fun trick, you know, an illustration. But the truth is that our thoughts have the power to control our attitudes and our actions. Your thoughts have the ability to control your attitude and your actions. And I want to talk about that tonight. So if you have your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 26, verse 27. And actually, I'm going to read the King James Version of this. Proverbs 26:7 says, "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." And the verse goes on and talks about some more things. But think about that for a second. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What does that mean? Well, when you think something, it starts this chain reaction in your mind and in your body that leads you down a path. Your thought is the beginning of that road. Let me illustrate it for you, because I don't want you guys to be lost. Let me bring it down, okay? The other day, I'm driving home from work here at church. I'm going home for like lunch or dinner. I can't remember if it was lunch or dinner, okay? Don't get mad at me. No, okay. So I'm going home from lunch or dinner, and I drive in Dixon Boulevard, you know, and they got that stupid red light up. They're fixing the bridge over there. There's like construction, and so I gotta wait. And I'm waiting at the light, you know, and I'm just thinking about everything under the sun, except for driving, because that's what I do, because I'm ADD and absent-minded. And so I'm driving along, you know, and I'm thinking about the message for Saturday. I'm thinking about music selection. I'm thinking about, like, just random stuff. And I'm driving along, and I'm like, I got to get home. I got stuff to do. And then we get down just at the road where you turn to go into Nathan's house. You guys don't know it, but it's like there's this like really ugly curve that you go around where you think you're going to die. And then like there's this turn onto Nathan's road, and there's this giant grate, this horrible pothole that you could like lose your vehicle. You know what I'm talking about, Nate? Like, and if you turn fast, like you will like probably break your axle or something. Like, it's just that, am I right? It's that bad. And so this truck in front of me is like turning, and he's turning a little bit slow, and I'm just absent-mindedly driving, so I just kind of swerve around him a little bit to continue on my merry way. And this fine gentleman leans out the window of his truck and says a not-so-kind word to me. He calls me a butthole, except with the other word. And he yells it, "Hey, you blah!" Right? And I'm like, and I'm shocked. I'm just absolutely shocked, because I was in another world. I was not paying attention to driving. And I realized that that probably I have been tailgating this guy the entire road on Dixon Boulevard, that I've been tailgating him. And then when he got to turn, that I was like so close to his bumper, then I just kind of swerved around. So in his mind, what do you think he was thinking? He's saying, "I'm not going fast enough, you know? Why is this guy on my tail?" And so maybe he sped up a little bit. And of course, me, absent-minded, what do? I speed up a little bit more. I gotta get home. I gotta get to lunch. You know, I'm not thinking about anything. Okay, and then he gets ready to turn, and I'm like, "Oh, cool, I can get around him, I can go." And then he's thinking that I am being malicious towards him, that I'm trying to do some horrible thing. Same thing happened when I went to Camp Abrioka. Okay, except this time it was someone else tailgating me. Now, I didn't yell at them and use the word, okay. But I'm driving down the road to Camp Abrioka, the one like the mountainous road where it's like just two lanes. And I'm driving along, and all of a sudden, this lady in this car behind me, she starts tailgating me. She's like right up on my tail. And I'm like, "What is this? And why won't she back off, you know? Like I'm going the speed limit, and she's just right on my tail, and so what do I do? Like any Christian man, I slow down. So I'm doing like 35. I drop it down to 30. She's still on my tail. So I drop it down to 25. Next thing, by the time she turned, I'm doing like 5 miles an hour. Like the car won't go any slower, you know? And I'm thinking, why are you on my tail? Why don't you back off? What's your problem? Right? She was probably doing the same thing I was before. She's probably just absent-minded, needed to get home, late getting home from work, had to get dinner in the oven. It was probably, like it happens to us all the time, right? And we misjudge people's actions and people's thoughts. And I get this bug in my mind that this lady is mad at me and thinks that I'm not going fast enough, and so I misjudge her behavior. That's the power of thought. And because I thought this way, then I slowed down. Because that guy thought that way, he screamed out the window a swear word at me and called me something. This is a powerful concept. It really is. Playing a story in your mind is really a vital skill. And that's what I was doing. I was playing this story in my mind where this lady hated me and was tailgating me. The guy was playing a story in his mind that I hated him, didn't think he was going fast enough and was tailgating him. But playing a story over and over in your brain is very powerful, actually. Who knows who Michael Phelps is? Yeah? Olympics just started last night. Anybody stay up late and watch the opening ceremony? Yes? I watched until they started marching in with the countries, okay? And so, you know, it was pretty neat. I liked seeing the Queen do the jump out of the helicopter, you know, and parachute in. I don't think it was really her. I think they used a double, but, you know, who am I to judge? So, anyways, Michael Phelps is obviously one of the world's greatest swimmers, and if not the world's greatest swimmer. In the 2008 Beijing Olympics, he was swimming for the gold medal, and right after he jumped off the block in one of the events, his goggle came loose and filled with water. You can read about this. It was news art all over the news and stuff. And at that moment, many swimmers would kind of have a panic attack because you're blind. I mean, like, the goggle comes off, chlorine gets in your eyes, you're blind. And they have to be able to see where they're going to know when to turn, to know when to swim fast, to know when to slow down. They watch the other people. They look, if you watch them on the Olympics, they see the other swimmers so they know when to kick it into gear and everything. And this is an issue. And afterwards, they asked Michael Phelps, what did he do when the goggle came off? How did it feel when your goggle came off? And he said, it felt just like I imagined it. It felt just like I imagined it. And you might be wondering, what did he mean by that? Well, Michael Phelps' coach helped Michael Phelps through the years. And one of the ways that he trained was this idea of playing the tape. Playing the tape. And his coach would have Michael Phelps imagine in his head every step of swimming. He imagined getting up in the morning. He imagined eating the same breakfast. He imagined spending time in meditation, spending time getting his swimsuit on, spending time in practice, doing the exact same amount of laps in practice to warm up. He imagined what it was like to stand at the block, to do his hand motions. He does the same exact ones every time. He imagined what it was like to crouch. He imagined what it was like to hear the sound, to jump in the water. Every stroke, he imagined. He played it in a tape in his head. And he had him play through different scenarios, like goggle coming off. And he played through these over and over. And every day, he would play the same tape. He would do the same things. And so when the Olympics came and this thing happened, he said, it happened just like I imagined it. And when Michael Phelps swims, it's just another day playing the tape, doing the same thing. And that visualizing success really helps him to succeed. I do the same thing when I preach. Okay, my wife thinks I'm crazy because you can catch me in the office. I'm like walking around like this. I'm talking to myself out loud. I'm at home. I'm talking to myself. What am I doing? Well, I'm ADD and I'm a little crazy. But I'm just visualizing giving the message. It's not like something I did on purpose, it's something I did because I'm crazy, but it actually helps me a whole lot. And it's the same thing. We play tapes over and over in our mind, and actually Michael Phelps broke a world record when his goggles came off because he played the tape and he swam just like he had imagined it. And the same thing can happen for us. We all do this all the time. This is how Yo-Yo Ma is a world-class celloist. This is how Michael Phelps is a world-class swimmer. This is how Ron Hudson can absent-mindedly operate a motorized vehicle. because I have played the tape in my head of, I've done this over and over and over again. It's called chunking in the human brain. And when you do something enough, when you see it enough, you experience it enough, then it becomes this like muscle memory and you just do it. You just do it and you react. Well, and this is a great thing. If without this, we would not be able to become experts at anything. Humanity would be kind of stuck, you know, but because we have this ability to play this tape in our mind and visualize things, that we can accomplish amazing things. The problem is, Isaiah 55 kind of tells us that our minds are limited in their knowledge. Turn your Bible to Isaiah chapter 55. We're going to read verses 8 and 9. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, this is God talking. And he says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." What does that say? God is saying that in your mind, your thoughts, the tape that you play, could be light years away from the truth in your thinking. Your thoughts, the way you think, the tape that you play in your mind about who you are, about what you should do, about what's going on around you, could be light years away from the truth. You could be totally far away from what the truth and what reality is. And we see this all the time. We see this behavioral economics guys, they measure human behavior, and humans do all sorts of irrational, stupid things. When we do negotiation, we are more likely to negotiate around the first number we hear. It's called like anchoring. So if I say to you, "Hey, would you like to buy this briefcase, Nathan? I'll sell it to you for $30, okay? And you really want it. And so then you say, "Well, I'll give you 10. And I say, "How about 20? And then we go back 15, right? That's 50% off, right? And so then, but you're thinking 50% of the original number that I asked. Maybe it's only worth $10, okay? But the anchoring, the way that we anchor in our mind, just that first number you hear is what you'll negotiate around. It's weird, it's crazy. We will pick anything up that's free, even if we don't like it most of the time. It's free, oh my gosh, I'm signing up, you know? It's like irrational, it's stupid. They would do this, they would have these things where like, they would have this table set out and they would have like free chocolate, you know, and people would come over and they would have to fill out a little survey to get the free chocolate. And people who didn't like chocolate took the free chocolate because it was free. We are irrational in our minds. We make choices that just do not make sense. And we think that we're making a lot of sense, especially those of us who are more intellectual, kind of stuck in our brains all the time, like to read, like to think that we know a lot of stuff. But our thoughts can be so far away from the truth. Matthew chapter 15, Jesus tells, or there's this account of Jesus, and the Pharisees come to him and they say, "Master, we saw your disciples did not wash their hands before they ate." And Jesus tells them this. He said, "It's not what you put into your mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of the heart that defiles a man." It's what comes out of us that defiles us, that messes us up. It is this show that plays in our head that we watch and rewatch and rehearse that produces the stuff that comes out of our mouth and our life. And we have to be very careful about this, because if we're playing the wrong thing in our mind, the wrong thoughts about our parents, our kids, our boss, our life, it can really mess us up, and we could be acting with attitudes and actions that are far away from the truth, far away from God's truth. The cool thing is that God offers this awesome wisdom to us. If you go in your Bible to James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. James chapter 1, verse 5 through 8. It says this, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. That person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. James says, if you don't trust the tape in your mind, if you don't trust your thoughts, which frankly is pretty wise, because our thoughts can be miles away from the truth, that we could go to God and we can ask of God and he will give us godly wisdom. He will transform our thoughts. He will give us another thought and say, here, think on these things. In fact, in Philippians chapter 4, it gives us a whole list of great things to think about and meditate about. And so, here's the thing. We all play these tapes over and over in our brains. It's a good thing. It's a natural thing. The danger is we could be playing the wrong tape. I do it. You do it. So what do? We can go to God and ask God to replace the thoughts with good thoughts. We have access to God's wisdom, and God will give you a tape to play if you'll ask him. This one discipline has the power to change every single relationship in your life. This one discipline of replacing your tape with God's tape has the power to transform every relationship in every circumstance of your entire life. And I'm not this isn't hyperbole. This is the truth. This is absolutely true. So I want to illustrate it. So I'm going to need some helpers tonight. Let's see here. Let's start with, what's it? No. Yeah, you're right. How about, I need a guy and a girl. Come on, raise your hand. Guy and a girl. Volunteer, or I'm just going to pick somebody. There's a guy. There's a girl. Come on up. Okay, I need another guy and a girl. Come on. Don't be shy. It won't hurt. It'll be fun. I promise. All right, come on, Brian. Brianna. It's Brianna or Brianna? Come on. Please. Please don't leave me hanging. I need your help, okay? You could do this. Like, it's going to be awesome. All right, here's what we're going to do. I have some scenarios here. Oh, I just broke it. Ugh. Okay, here we go. We're going to start with you guys, because this is going to be perfect, okay? So you guys go over there and stand. I'll use you in a little bit. Okay? Now, I have two roles to play. I have the role of a mother and the role of a child. So which one of you guys wants to be the mom?
She could be the mom.
You sure?
I'll be the kid.
You'll be the kid? Okay. So here, you're the mom, and you are the child. Now, what I'm going to have Brianna do is, what's going on here is we're going to make a movie, okay? So Nathan's our video guy. He's got our camera going. And these are our actors. Character. And you guys are the producers, right? Isn't that awesome? Pat yourself on the back. Come on, everybody. Because every actor you ever see is like, you know, it's great to be an actor, but what I really want to do is direct. You know, so you guys are the directors. You know what I mean? So you guys are the directors, the producers. You guys are going to make this show happen. And here's what I need you to do. You guys have two commands. You have the command, cut! Everybody say cut.
Cut!
No, you guys say cut!
Cut!
Okay, and then the other one is roll it.
Roll it.
Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to have our actors say their lines, and you guys are going to decide whether this is a good tape to play or a bad tape to play. And we're going to pick one person because we each have the power to choose, okay? So we get to make our own choice. So someone else could be playing the wrong tape and doing all kind of bad, crazy stuff, but you could still make the right choice. So in this case, the child is the one that we're going to be helping out here, okay? So, mom is going to start out by saying her line. The child is going to respond with their line, and you're going to say, cut, if we want to change the line, change the tape, or you're going to say, roll it, if you think it's a great response. All right, so mom, you in character?
It's it, mom.
All right, much drama. You can do this. You got this.
This is why we don't trust you.
Whoa, we can't hear you. You got to shout it out.
This is why we don't trust you, because you stay out all the hours of the night doing only God knows what.
I hate you. You just want to control my life.
Cut or roll it.
All right, so mom says, this is why we don't trust you. You stay out all hours of the night. Dad says,
I hate you.
I hate you. You just want to control my life. So we cutting this tape or we rolling it?
Cut.
Okay. Look on the back of your card there, child. On the back, the other side. Ephesians 6:2. Let's look this up. When we decide we're going to cut, we're going to replace this thought with something out of God's word, right? Because we're saying, hey, God, I need a tape. Okay, so we're going to get line, please, right? So we're okay, Ephesians 6:2. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 2. All right, it says, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. All right, so here's your new line. So we're going to run it again. Go ahead, Mom. Shout at your child.
This is why we don't trust you, because you stay out all the hours of the night doing only God knows what.
I'm sorry, Mom. I know you must have been worried. I was irresponsible because I forgot what time it was. Could you forgive me?
No.
All right, so we're going to cut it or roll it?
Roll it.
That's right. Okay. The Bible says we're supposed to honor our parents.
Let's hug it out.
Obviously. And like I said, does this mean Mom is in the right here yelling at the kid? No, but it doesn't matter. We can still play the right tape. Thank you, Brian. And Dan, you guys are awesome. You can keep that. It's a souvenir, souvenir, souvenir. Okay, next up. Next up, I have the role of a guy and a hot girl. So I'm going to ask Nathan to be the hot girl. And this will be the guy. This will be less awkward, okay? So, all right, you guys ready? You know what to do?
Yep.
Now, you're the guy, okay?
No, oh,
you're the hot girl, that's right. So you know what the thing says? All right, here we go. Now I need you guys to all say action for me. Here we go, on three. One, two, three, action!
I'm gonna have to call you Campbell's Chicken Noodle Soup because you are good.
Did you guys hear that? We should... Here, we're gonna use a mic because that was just great. We're gonna roll that again, okay? The scene wasn't so great. The footage wasn't good, so let's roll this again, okay? All right, here we go. On three. One, two, three, action!
I'm gonna have to call you Campbell's Chicken Noodle Soup because you are good.
All right, we rolling it or cutting?
Roll it!
What's that? Cut, Miss Renee says cut. Okay, so we want a new line? All right, what's it say on the back of your card there, Megan?
What?
Look at the back of your card.
Oh. Psalm 26:11.
Psalm 26:11, okay. So let's go here. Job, Psalms 26, verse number 11. It says, but as for me, I shall walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be gracious to me. Okay? So here's your new line. Let's roll it again, okay? All right, places. Here we go, on three, action. One, two, three, action.
God is good. I will praise him for beauty, but I will walk in integrity.
That's awesome. Roll it, okay? And this is a thought that Megan has in her heart when she sees the hot guy, or the girl. The guy has, he sees the girl, he appreciates God's beauty, but he says, you know what, I'm not gonna look at this as an object. I'm going to thank God for his beauty, but I'm going to be a person of integrity. Roll it, right? We roll that tape. Awesome. Okay, you guys want to help me out with some more? You guys are really good at this, okay? I mean, much better than Ryan. You know, no offense, just, you know. Okay, so here we go. Or should we get someone else? I think we should do Allison and Steve.
Yes.
Yes, let's bring Allison and Steve up here. Come on, come on. Come on, hurry up. This ain't no retirement home. Yes, it is. Okay.
So
I have the role here of employee and boss.
Oh, I gotta be the employee.
You gotta be the employee. Okay. All right, Steve, you get to be the employee, and Allison, you get to be the boss. Okay, Allison, your line is first. Here we go, on three. One, two, three, action.
Yeah, I'm gonna need you to work a double shift today, on Sunday.
My boss is such an idiot. I hope this place burns to the ground.
Are we cutting or rolling it?
Rolling it.
We cutting or rolling it, seriously. We're cutting, that's right. Okay, we're gonna cut it. Steve, let's see what your new line is.
Colossians 3:23
says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for Allison. It says for men, but you guys get the point here. Here's your new line. Let's run it again, okay? Now, this is a thought that Steve has. He may not say it to his boss, but this is the attitude. This is the tape he's going to play over and over in his mind to have the right attitude and actions. All right, here we go. On three. One, two, three, action.
I'm the boss, Joe, and I'm going to need you to work a double shift on Sunday.
Dear God, thank you for this job. Give me the grace to be the best employee I can be and let my boss see you in me.
Roll it. Yeah. Right? Thank you. You guys are awesome. Should we do one more? I think we can do one more, okay? I want to see some Max and Jessica. Come on. Yeah. Woo. This is going to be great. Okay, this is our last one, and then we're almost done here. So I have the role of a wife and a husband. So which one do you guys want to do? You're going to be the wife?
I'll be the man.
All right, shocker. Okay. Now, the wife has the first line here. So you ready, Jessica? Make sure you say it really big and loud, okay?
Okay.
One, two, three, action.
You're so selfish. You only care about yourself.
I'm selfish. Who's the one spending all the money around here?
Cut.
Roll it. Megan says cut. Okay. All right.
It's a bad thought, I guess.
All right. So let's see what your thoughts should be. Ephesians chapter
5:25.
Okay. There is a card in here. It's magic. Go ahead and read that one out really loud.
Okay. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her.
Ouch. Yeah. New line. Okay. Here we go. Action on three. One, two, three, action.
You're so selfish. You only care about yourself.
I'll be honest. I'm not sure what I did to hurt you, but I am sorry. Can you forgive me and help me see
how to fix it?
How to fix it?
That's good stuff, right? Let's roll that one. Okay. Thank you so much, Jessica and Max. You guys are awesome. You can keep that as a souvenir.
Okay.
So I will sign it later. Yes. Here's the lesson, guys. You see how this works? In everyday life, you can choose to roll your tape, or you can say cut and ask for God to give you a lie. And, you know, some of these were corny, and we had a lot of fun with this, but it's true. It's so true. I get in a situation with my wife or a friend or a boss or someone tailgating me or me tailgating someone else, and the wrong tape wants to play all the time. It just does. It just hits me. I want to say the wrong thing. I want to feel the wrong thing. I want to act the wrong thing. I just want to just lash out and do the wrong thing. But if I will stop and realize and acknowledge, look, my thought is probably wrong. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. Line, please, God. I'm going to cut this tape off. I'm going to cut this scene here because I'm the producer of my own life. I'm the director of my own life here. And I'm going to say, God, give me a line. Give me a thought. And he will. And you can replace it. And then you replay that tape over and over. And you replay that tape over and over. And you become the right employee. And you become the right father and child, and you become the right husband and wife, and you can handle the hot chick, you know, situation. Okay? So, in our examples, only one person replaced their tape, right? It seemed really unfair, because one person is yelling, right? The wife is yelling, you're so selfish, you only care about... She's playing the wrong tape. The boss... Yeah, I'm going to need you to come in on Saturday or Sunday or both for a double shift. The boss is playing the wrong tape, playing a trump card. The parent screaming at the kid, this is why we don't trust you because you're... Not okay. It doesn't matter what tape someone else is playing. You are the director of your own thoughts and the director of your own attitudes. So surrender that to God. Say, line, please, and he will. He will totally help you out. This is really cool. And in our examples, only one person did it, but I want you to imagine if we all did this. What would that be like? If our interactions with each other as families, as friends, were all like this. If we all caught the bad thoughts, said, I'm not going to roll that. I'm not going to let that come out of me. I'm going to cut it off and get godly wisdom to come in and replace that. How we would treat each other, what kind of church we would be, how we would affect our city. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to serve you. Lord, we pray that you'd be with us tonight as we go and have conversations. Lord, help us to be honest with each other, Lord. Disclosure is the currency of intimacy, Lord. I pray that we would just share how we've rolled the wrong tape and ask each other for godly wisdom, how we can roll the right tape, how we can replace our thoughts with things that honor you. Lord, help us to honor you with our bodies and with our minds and with our spirits so that we can be holistic, so we can be Christians that serve you with everything we have. In Jesus' name, amen. Every week we take up an offering. So we have a plate in the back there. And if you want, you can... I'm going to go ahead and ask the musicians to come back up. So we're going to close with a song. But if God asks us to be givers, and that includes our money, and the reason why is because it helps us roll the right tape about who we are and our significance in the universe. It really does. When we give our money to God, it's rolling the tape that says, it's not mine anyways. It's yours, Lord. I give it to you freely. And it teaches us to be givers so that when we see someone in need, then we can roll the tape and say, I'm going to give them myself. I'm going to sacrifice. I'm going to give something so that they can know God or so that I can help them out with the situation. All right, let's all stand together. Close with Let the Praises Ring. Oh Lord, my God, you I put my trust. Oh Lord, my God, you I put my hope. Oh Lord, my God, you I put my trust. Oh Lord, my God, you I put my hope. Can you? I find my peace. In you I find my strength. In you I live and move and breathe. And let everything I say and do be bounded by my faith in you. I lift up holy hands and sing, let the praises ring. All right, you're dismissed. We'll see you in the back for snacks. I think Billy has one more trick that he might show us in the back if he feels like it, so we'll see.